That when I was a kid, walking was a very popular thing, especially when you go get cows, or there was no four-wheeler, there was no whatever the mean of transportation may be for quick motivation. The quickest motivation I think my dad had was my two feet. And so when you would say, go get the cows, it wasn't just like in the barnyard. They were like on the back 40. And so you would head up the road or up through the field, and there was miles and miles and miles and miles that I have walked. It just walked one step at a time. And so the definition of step is this. The definition of step is a short movement made by raising one foot and lowering it ahead of the other foot. I find that interesting that definition is raising one foot, but not just putting it back down. Raising it and putting, no, that's not stepping. A step is raising it, moving it forward, and putting it back down. Raise it, move it forward ahead of the other one, and put it back down. So when you get a combination of steps, then you have this movement forward. If I repeat the action, I am taking steps, and I am moving from one location to another. That's the goal of taking steps. Also, the second definition of step is this: a stage in a progression towards some goal or target. And so I think it's the same thought there, is that I'm going to take a step, or I'm going to move forward in the next thing that moves me toward a goal or a target. So I raise and I move forward. I raise and I move forward. I raise and I move forward. It's to go toward a goal. You can do it physically, to go toward a door or go toward the field or go toward your car or something. But the second definition is you got to move in your soul. You got to move in your life. You gotta. Now you're not physically moving, but you're moving toward a goal or a target. I find that definition extremely interesting as well. And as I think back, the times that we have taken this step, we gather. This is the 52nd time we have gathered, 51 times up to this day. This is the 52nd step that we have taken together. Now we gather 51, 52 times a year to take a step. Now, we don't all go out in the field and get in a line and say, everybody pick up your foot, move it ahead of the other one, let it down. Okay, dismiss. Have a good day. See you next week. That's not what we're doing. Our goal is not just to physically walk across the field. Our goal is to take steps toward a target or a goal in our life. And so we gather here. It's not the only step that we do to make that happen in our life, but it's one of the steps that God has ordained in our life to help us move forward toward a goal or a target in our life, is meeting together. He says that in Hebrews. He says, don't give up meeting together. It's important because it's part of the steps that you're going to take in meeting a goal or a target. There's going towards something. Now you have steps you take on your own and steps you take with a group. These steps, just 52 of them a year. We have taken 51 steps toward a goal, toward a particular goal. And just so you know, I'm just going to let you in on Psalm 84 is kind of my goal set, is where I'm headed in life. And this is part of the steps that lead me forward, is blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And as I process that, God, that's what I want. That's one of the steps I want to take. That's one of the goals I want. I want to dwell in your house. I want to live a life of praise. I want to live in God's house and I with a heart of praise. That's one of my, so when I take a step toward that, and this being one of them, that's one of my goals. That's what I'm stepping toward. I'm stepping toward that, what I need to live in God's house with a heart of praise. And that psalm goes on, and I'm just uncapping what my own heart says. This is where I get up in the morning and say, God, this is what I want. I want to dwell in your house, and I want to have a heart of praise. So the steps I take, whether it's one of the 52 steps I take with you on this Sunday morning, or whether it's some of my own life, this is what I want. And I think this is what God wants. He continues on the psalm with this. He said, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their heart on a pilgrimage. That's what I want. I want to find strength to continue my faith journey. And so as I spend time with you or spend time in the Word, one of these 52 times that we spend together, I think I can find strength to continue my faith journey. And we know we had testimony over that. I'm glad I could return. I'm glad I found this body of believers. They helped me move forward. That's why we gather, because that's what God does. And these 52 times a year are very key in that progression in our life, not just to walk across the platform, but to take steps toward a goal, to dwell in God's house and to have a heart of praise and to find strength to continue my faith journey. The psalm goes on to say this, and as they pass through the valley of Baca, or the Baca is not, just so you know, it's not a positive word. It's not, as they float through the beaches of, it's not that. It's as they pass through the valley of Baca, of hurt, of pain, of death, of destruction, of a hardship. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs, and the autumn rains cover it with pools. Another one of my goals in life is to make a godly difference in all situations. And I think I get that. I think that helps when I come and I take a step with people and I take a step here that I can now become more healthy. And I'm not going to be taken out of those valleys. I'm just not. Your life is going through some of those valleys. You're not going to be taken out of the valley. And it's not God's punishment on your life necessarily. God said it's life. But let me give you what you need to take a step through that so that you can not only navigate through it, but you can leave it a place of pools and springs. One more for this passage. Just so you know, this is the steps that I think are in my heart that I want to take. And if I want to take them, I think you want to take them. Maybe that's an assumption that I need to have verified from you, but this is what drives me on a Sunday morning. This is my goal. This is where I want us to go. I want us to have this in our life. And is that they go from strength to strength until each appear before God in Zion. I want to grow stronger until God takes us home. That's what I want. And so as I think about that, and as I want to live in God's dwelling or in his house and have his heart of praise, and as I find strength to continue my faith journey and make a godly difference in the situations that I am in life and grow stronger and stronger until God takes me home, that's my goal. And it's been my goal since January of 2018. So the 51 steps that we have taken together as in my heart and my soul have helped me do that, has helped me live this life or have these things in my life. And I have a feeling they've done something for each of us. If I don't believe they didn't do anything, if I believe they didn't do anything for any of us, then we're not open next week. But if this is something I want in my life and I want to take these steps toward God, and I want you to back up this 2018. I want to look at some of the steps that we have taken in 2018. I just want to ask ourselves, and I do this often on the last Sunday of the year, and just say, how are you doing on this step? And just so you know, we're not trying to walk across the field, but we're trying to move forward in these things that God has revealed to us, to have this life with God. So can we just back up for a few moments this morning and just say, the final exam perhaps, and just see, how am I doing? Because step number four, the title of the message was Enter, Enter, Enter. And we read a passage when Zacchaeus was up in a tree and Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and very wealthy. He wanted to see Jesus, who Jesus was. But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Verses 5 and 6 says, when Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must go to your house today. And Zacchaeus, so he came down and at once and welcomed him gladly. So the word that we enter was Jesus will enter. Push the button. Jesus will enter your world. He entered Jericho. He entered the world that Zacchaeus was. I'm telling us right now that Jesus is in our world. He's entered our world. And then all of a sudden, he will enter your space. He's right at the bottom of whatever you're hiding in. He's right at the bottom of the tree that you're trying to get a better look at life. The things that you've climbed for and the things that you've climbed for. And all of a sudden, you don't know if you can see. And Jesus finds himself. You find Jesus right at the base of your tree. Now listen, this is not a new message. I realize this is a step four. It's January 28th. This is completely a review. But then Jesus will enter your world. Jesus will enter your space. And Jesus wants to enter your life. That's completely up to you. Zacchaeus had nothing to say whether Jesus come to Jericho. Zacchaeus had nothing to say about Jesus coming to the base of his tree. Zacchaeus has everything to say about whether he comes out of the tree or not and follows Jesus. How you doing? How you doing on that? That was a step that we took, that we endeavored to take last year, just to say, I want to, Jesus, I know you're here. I know you're in my world. I know you're at the bottom of my life, or you're right here in my life. I want to enter your world too. I want to go with you, Jesus. And some of us may be saying, I don't know. I don't know what all that means. Guess what? You'll never know what it means until you let Jesus enter your life. Enter was step four that we took. And just look, how you doing? Is it still okay if Jesus enters your world? Is it still okay if Jesus enters your tree space? Sure, always is saying, my brother and I, when we talk, we're like this close to each other. I said, you know, you guys are nuts. You know, don't you have any bubble? Don't you have, you know, space, you're supposed to stay. I said, I guess not. I don't know. Maybe we're both hard of hearing. I don't know. But it's that space, right? It's that right up. And Jesus says, I won't invade your space until you invite me to do that. But I'll be at your tree. And I will say, you want to come out of the tree? But that's up to you. Step number four, right? That's step number four. We took it. We took it last year. How about the next step we took in January? Step number seven. We took in February the 8th. And it was Never Stop. Never Stop was the name of the message. And we just simply read this. A day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaim the good news that Jesus is the Christ. I will never stop. I am never stopping telling people about Jesus. Now, some of it's easier than other people, right? Some are easier than other people, right? Some people are easier to talk about Jesus than other people are. But when God motivates us and God says, talk to them about Jesus, do you know how hard this is? Guess what? I do know how hard it is, and I'm asking you to do it. And we were challenged to never stop. Step number eight was to never stop. Step number seven was to never stop telling people. And never stop telling people about Jesus. It's amazing sometimes, and people will shut you down. I know people will shut you. Hey, can I just say, I know you've got this hardship in your life. Can I just tell you about Jesus? Absolutely not. Get out of my house. I've been told that. But the times I haven't been told that, whew. And I will not let someone who told me in the past to get out of their house, they don't want nothing to do with Jesus, guide my actions with the next person that comes along. I will never punish this person for what that person did. How are we doing? It's this life that I want. I want to dwell in God's house, and I want to have a heart of praise, and I want to grow stronger and stronger, and I want to walk with him. This is one of the steps that we took. How about the next step that we took? Step number nine, we talked about in March, it was just simply called giving. This is one of those messages. We talked about being in the mud in the spring, and we talked about some of the risky stuff that people don't talk about from the pulpit. And Some of the stuff that you don't know if people, and sexuality is one of those things, and we were dealing with some of those things, and it's funny, giving is one of those things too. The fewest sermons are preached on giving because my money's my money. Guess what? That's a bad answer. Your money's God's money. He expects you to be a steward of it. We just simply talked about, push the button, just some of these things, and we're not going over. There's more potential in giving than we realize. There's more, give more than is necessary or expected. Giving is a heart-driven, not a wallet-driven. We talked about that. If you're waiting till your wallet says to give, it'll never give. If you're waiting for your heart to give, you won't be able to give enough. How's your giving? How's your witness? How's your tree habitation? See, I think that all matters. It matters to me as I revisit these on a regular basis. As I revisit these, and say, God, is that step still helping me? Am I still moving forward with you? God, am I still in the tree? Am I in another tree? If I just run from one tree and got another tree, and all of a sudden Jesus said, where in the world? Why is he up a different tree? And you know what I'm talking about. Some of you know full well what I'm talking about. And people talking about people about Jesus and giving. How about step number 11, where when March 18th we took this step, and it says, selfishness kills. That was the name of the message. And we read this passage, for there is envy and selfish ambition. You will find disorder and every evil practice. Just so you know, selfishness kills. And we address these few statements there. Push the button, please. Selfishness will grow disorder, chaos, confusion, and turmoil. If that describes any situation you're in, any family situation you're in, I'm going to diagnose you as you got selfishness in the room. Selfishness has to defeat harmony so it can live. Selfishness will produce a whole host of other evil practices. Selfishness will produce lying, stealing, and cheating. The effects of selfishness on the family, the church, the community are crushing. How you doing? How you doing in that world? Because I don't think you can selfishly walk toward God. God said we need to defeat selfishness so that you can live in harmony, because I want to grow you together. How about step number 14? April 8th was the name of the message. I need help. I need help. And if you remember that message, and that led us into a couple months worth of messages on what I learned from growing sunflowers with Tobin, which was plenty. I could write a whole book, and maybe I should someday, on just what I learned from 1 acre of sunflowers, but I realized I need help. I needed help to grow sunflowers. God had asked me to do something, 1 acre of sunflowers, and just so you know, my Ponderosa in Roaring Spring is 0.17 acres. It's going to take more than my house is in the middle of that 0.17 acres. And God says, I want you to grow 1 acre of sunflowers. I'm saying, where in the world is that supposed to happen? He said, you're going to need help. You're going to need help to do what I've called you to do. You can't do it alone. And we look at this verse, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. And if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls down and has no one to help him up! Exclamation point. So I got to ask us, are you still trying to do it alone? Just so you know, you'll never do it alone. And just so you know, that friend, that definition of that friend in the Hebrew says this, fellow worshiper. Be careful who you've partnered with. Be careful who's helping you out of the hole, because you might go out of the hole and right into their hole. God says, I want to send you, and you're going to get help, and you're going to get help with someone that can help you, not just drag you into another hole. How you doing on that? Step number 20. And this is part of the sunflower messages, and it was the harvest is hard. That was the entitled the message, the harvest is hard. It's hard. Man, planting was easy. Change a couple of gear and chains and ratio on the corn planter. I just stood there and watched the tractor go back and forth across the field. It was easy to plant seeds. It was really cool to watch them grow. Big yellow flowers. People could see them from all over. It was really cool. But all of a sudden it came harvest time. We didn't have any idea what we were doing. Nor did we have the right machinery to do it properly. I found out that harvesting is hard. You got 12 to 14 foot sunflowers. What do you do? Pick seed? I'm talking, this isn't easy. Then we started to talk about how God says, why don't you pray for those to go into harvest field? And all of a sudden they start realizing how hard the harvest field is. We looked at Psalm 107 and just some of the things that we come. Why is it hard? Because there are those. Because God is using his people to reach people. Because God is going to use you to reach people. He's going to use you to reach people. He's going to use you to reach people. And the trouble is, he's going to lead you into people's lives that are hungry and spiritually starving. He's going to lead you into people's lives that are ebbing away and that are in darkness and in misery and experiencing destruction and are trapped in the shadow of death. He's going to lead you into lives of people who are in prison. That's why it's hard, because he's leading you into a dark world to rescue those people in a dark world. And he said, I've chosen to use my people to reach those people. And I have a feeling sometimes we don't care. And we stay back where we're comfortable. And who's going to go out there? And who's going to harvest? It's easy to plant a seed. How about step 28 in July 15th, 2018? And we compared life to a sandwich. Life is like a sandwich. And if you remember, I walked around the platform. I made a peanut butter sandwich, and I turned it inside out. And I was just carrying it around with a mess outside of the bread. And God says, that's not the way you're supposed to eat a sandwich, and that's not the way you're supposed to live life. You're supposed to live life with a mess in the middle. Can you keep your mess in the middle? You got a mess, I know. Put your mess between the two breads, and let's go together. And we just looked at Psalm 62, a little bit in that passage, and we saw that the bread was, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. And then all of a sudden, in verse 3 and following, we get this mess that he's in. And there's this mess. How long will you assault me, man? Would all of you throw him down, this leaning and wall and tottering fence? This mess that's just convincing him and trying to beat him up and trying to murder and slay him. And the structure, your structure is too weak to handle this. You can't handle this. God's not in your life. You can't handle it. You might as well give it up. Come on now. And God says, now wait a minute. You need another piece of bread. There's no open-faced sandwich. The other piece of bread is in verse 5. And he says this, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. He repeats verse 1. I love it when God puts the same bread on the top and the bottom. He said, I'm telling you right now, you got a mess, but I got the bread. And I'll cover up your mess, and we'll get it in the middle of me, and we'll handle that mess. How are you doing on that? See, sometimes, just let me repeat, I think sometimes my mess pushes me back up the tree. And Jesus is saying, cool, it's an oak tree, not a sycamore this time, but it's still a tree. Would you come down? Because I want to send you in a world that so desperately needs, and I want to grow you, and I want to hone you, and I want to love on you, and I can't do it up the tree. How about step number 34 on August 26th? See, I think we have a big step. I think we have a trouble. That's the toughest assignment. And we read this, what Jesus is saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. See, I think, just to be honest, and I'll say it again. I said it then, and I'm going to say it again. I think the hardest thing to do, the toughest assignment you've been given, is to love God. There's nothing greater that the enemy wants to do than sever your love for God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we went through this. This is passages, a heart, my affection, my desire, my passion. Is my relationship with Jesus the most valuable possession? Do I want it to be? And are you willing to go wherever it takes you? We ask that for each one of these. How you doing? I just got to ask, how am I doing? The soul is the breath of life and life. And does your soul thirst for a living God? Is your relationship with Jesus the most valuable thing you have? And not, please don't give me the Sunday school answer. Yes. For crying out loud. Our lives will show whether it is or not. And is your soul, does my soul thirst for a living God? Do you want it to? Are you okay with wherever it takes you? It says, love me with your strength, your power, your ability, your resources. Is my use of my strength and resources honoring to Jesus? Do I want it to be? And are you willing to go wherever it takes you? And he says this, he love me with your mind, your thinking, your thought life, your intellect. I had to be reminded of this just the other night when I laid down in the bed. And I said, you know what? What I'm thinking right now is not honoring to God. Jesus, you're going to need to do something with this thinking because it's stinking. And almost without fail, that's the last thing I can usually remember thinking. Because I want my thinking to honor God. And do you want it to? You want to go where it's going to take you? Step 45. I'm on the last page of my notes. Everybody breathe. Step 45 just happened a month and a half ago. And God always has the first things first. He always does the first things first. And we saw that God loves and cares for people no matter where you are in life. You got to know that right now. God loves and cares for your brother no matter where he's at in life. He loves and cares for people no matter where they're at. They don't have to do anything for God to care and love them more than they're doing right this very moment. God loves and cares for people right where they're at. And God's will is to set someone free. Before we start blaming God for everything that has gone wrong in our life, just so you know, he loved and cared for you long before you loved and cared for him. And his 100% goal in your life is to set you free. And God will build your trust in him before he trains your hands for battle. Some of us just want our hands trained for battle so we can just ease up our life and just win this victory. And God said, wait a minute, I'm using it to build your trust in me. And then I will train your hands for battle. And God leads down the best path. God will put you with others that are on the journey. Hang on to at least one of God's promises, the promises of God. God is very creative in his leading. We looked at the pillar of fire and the cloud, and God's very creative in the way he leads. And God will never stop leading. So what is the theme for 2019? God will never stop leading us. I don't know where you're at right now, but God wants to take you closer to him. He wants to give you a heart of praise. He wants to strengthen you. He wants you to continue on your faith journey. He wants to strengthen you until he comes And he wants you to be in any situation, leave it better than what you found it, because you are a child of the Most High God. That's what he wants. He'll never stop leading us. We got 52 more steps to take. I can't wait for next week. You want to go? Stand with me today. God, thank you for this day, and thank you for the steps that you've brought us. And Lord, I know in a few moments, everyone is going to turn and they're going to pick up one foot and they're going to place it ahead of the other one, and they're going to stop when they get to their car, I think, and get in their car and they're going to drive home. But the steps that we're taking toward a goal, toward a purpose, toward the design, toward your will, that we would dwell in your house, that we would have a heart of praise, that we would continue our faith journey, that we would be put into places, situations that are very hard, and we would leave it a better place because we bring you there, and that we would be strengthened and strengthened and strengthened until one day you close your hand on us and receive us into your kingdom. 2019, God, and if you tarry and you do not come in 2019, the next 52 steps we take together, whether it's by me or MJ or Tobin or Jeff or someone else on this platform, the kids next December, our goal is to live that Psalm 84 and be Psalm 84ers. Help us to make those steps in 2019 that walk us toward you. Father, I love you, and that's because you first loved me. So thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.